John Paul Young, Love Is in the Air, and so is Christmas. Our tree is up here in the studio and it's twinkling away on my right hand side, and it's not even December yet. Everyone seems to be in good form, and Santa is in his grotto. In a variety of grottos, you will find Santa, very busy man at the moment. But some of you aren't overly happy with how he arrived at Arge Shopping Centre. Just looking, the reindeer looks miserable, this one says. I usually shop in the centre, but the leg of this would put me off. Another one says, it's quite a big Santa and a big sleigh and a relatively slight solitary reindeer. Surely this is not in the animal's best interest. It's a lovely picture, by the way, and I need to emphasise there are many, many people in the video who are welcoming Santa, the reindeer and the sleigh into Ard Shopping Centre. There are very few dissenting voices there on the Saturday afternoon. It seems like a lot of fun, and it seems like as if Santa is about to hold court and thoroughly spread the joy and the love to all the kids. But the reindeer looks, just looks like as if he's, you know, he's given it a queer old pull. We'll say that. But no one, I can't see anyone on that video that's complaining. However, you are. You're saying this is disgusting. Shame on you. See how they're not responding to anyone. I don't know how they thought this was acceptable. So you feel, I presume you feel that the reindeer's finding it difficult. You're saying, I don't know how they thought this was acceptable. Another one says, you can clearly see the poor reindeer struggling and the woman encouraging him there. Unnecessary to have the poor old thing doing this. I wonder, is it because Santa was so heavy, or does a reindeer, when he comes across the car park, because that's what he's been doing, he travelled across the car park with the sleigh, he then goes through the main doors and he sees a lot of people in the aisle. Is he a little bit startled, maybe thinking, oh, don't want to go in there? I actually think that animal would be well capable of pulling a Santa and what would be a relatively light piece of kit. This one says, using that animal for entertainment is a disgrace. The poor thing looks terrified. And then you go on to say that this is animal exploitation. Let me speak to David Wilson from the USPCA. David, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Are people overreacting to a reindeer pulling a sleigh with a quite a portly Santa on board?
I don't think they're overreacting at all. I think it's that reindeer is quite stressed by the look of it. It's ill at ease, it's frightened. And most of the problems, health problems, certainly that reindeer suffer in the UK, because remember, they're way out of their comfort zone. They're creatures of the northern forests. Are stress-related disorders.
The like of that reindeer, would he have any experience of pulling anything else, or is it total fantasy that reindeers ever pulled anything?
A reindeer certainly are farmed, a farm animal. And no doubt a fully grown reindeer has been used to in the past for purposes on a farm. But I wouldn't think that a car park in Newton Ards is perhaps, and you say, quite a small reindeer by the look of it, and a very large sled and a very large Santa. Hauling it around a car park in Newton Ards is quite the thing to be doing.
There don't seem to be many dissenting voices or faces in the crowd. They see it as appropriate that Santa would arrive, and the children seem to love it. It's only happening for, you know, 15-20 minutes. Are we not overstating the distress of the animal?
No, I don't think I think someone has to speak up for the animal, Frank. It's been taken out of us. I mean, these things, first of all, are herd animals. In the wild and in the Arctic, they exist in herds. They come over here, one or two of them, and they're then taken and put into an entirely foreign situation. And it's very unfair on them. No, we are not, I think, being unreasonable in complaining.
I was watching the TV last night, David. I was watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And it's the first time that I've actually paused for a moment and thought, that's not very pleasant. And I wasn't thinking about it from what they were eating. I was thinking about what they were doing before they ate the creepy crawly. And the guide basically said, what was happening was there were six contestants in a row, all sitting on chairs. They all had a creepy crawly in a glass, and you had to lift the creepy crawly out, bite its head off, spit its head onto the ground, and consume the creepy crawly. So they all did that, one after the other. It was like the public execution of the wee mite and then the eating of it. is there, you know, am I too sympathetic? Something like a slug or whatever they were, it was like a caterpillar type thing. Do they have any feelings?
Well, people would argue certainly that they are sentient beings and that they do have feelings. They feel pain. I find those programs like that just pretty disgusting. I can see no merit, no reason for it, and I can get no entertainment value out of it, Frank.
And if a woman is lying in a pit or a man's lying in a pit and snakes are crawling all over him or her, the snakes aren't being stood on. Nobody's poking or hooking at the snakes.
No.
But would a snake be aware of the bright lights, the presence of the woman or the man? Would there be any form of distress there for the animal?
Well, it could be for the snakes. Yeah, I mean, where are they kept? They're not harvested around the jungle, are they, and brought in especially for the purpose? I presume they're brought in a box and taken away in a box. So I do not find programs like that in any way entertaining whatsoever. In fact, they set a very bad example for kids that are watching them, if they're allowed to sit up and watch it.
Yeah, interesting commentary just on the two elements of animal welfare. David, thank you very much indeed. David Wilson from the USPCA. I look at the programme I'm a Celebrity, and I see the handlers and I see the people there who are meeting all the requirements of animal husbandry and the requirements of the rules for broadcast. And I have no doubt that every rule is adhered to. And I'm not convinced that, you know, something like a snake would feel stress or trauma, as one of you have made a reference to the stress that the snake would be under here on the text. But the biting off the heads of the little caterpillars and spitting them out and then eating them, I found that to be disgusting last night. Not because they were eating them, but because they were biting their heads off live on television, spitting their head on the ground and then eating it. Like, that is still a little living creature. And maybe I'm just a softy, but I'm open to your opinion on it. 0289 033 105. 0289 033 105. As far as box office is concerned, it's massive. The programme is absolutely massive. And you love it. You adore the programme. And I have to say, I'm thoroughly enjoying watching it. Except when they bite the heads off wee things that are living. 0289 033 105. Seriously, what is wrong with people? Do you expect reindeers to tune into the giant consumer scam that is Christmas? They're animals. They don't smile. And apparently we are the more intelligent beings. This is someone who's saying, you know, what do you expect the reindeer to show a bit of emotion? We got to catch a grip of ourselves, I think, is the message there. Frank, as a farmer and reindeer fan, I can say the reindeer looks happy and healthy and is not struggling with the sleigh. I think the people project their own misery onto animals when they see them being used in any way. There are a lot of very sad, hateful people out there with their keyboard warriors, is what I call them, living miserable lives and trying to make everyone else as miserable as themselves. I know from experience that if I comment on Facebook, I get trolled by these brave people. So I'll just be quiet with the rest of the sensible majority. They all need to wise up and take a good look at themselves. If they truly love the animal, if they truly thought, rather, the animal was being mistreated, and then it disappears, that last wee bit. I'm not sure what the next little piece of your comment is on the end of it, but I'm not sure what the sentence isn't actually finished there. But do let us know. 0289 033 105 is the number. 0289 033 105. Just get back to some more of your comments, and there's it coming up on the screen now. They need to wise up, take a good look at themselves. If they truly thought the animal was being mistreated, they should contact the USPCA. That's from Jen, who's in St. Fid. Well, the USPCA's representative wasn't very impressed with what he saw on the video. Frank, if it was a performing bear, we'd be outraged, says Barry in Oma. And Frank, you are daft. The slug they ate was already dead, says Babs. Was it? You know, how do we know? Did they say they gassed them before they put them in the glass? I didn't hear it said, oh, that slug's already dead. Bite the head off it. So are we saying that it's all right to kill them and then put them in a glass and then bite the head off them? Does that make it any more comfortable for the Earl Slug? Maybe he doesn't get executed live on television. Babs, are you sure? Maybe I missed that bit where they were. To me, it doesn't make it any better that you go around killing the poor old slugs and then bite the heads off. But then some of you are saying grubs, Frank. They're grubs, for goodness sake. Frank, people. Bill makes the point. It's no different than biting the head off a jelly baby. Right, 02890-333-105. I like this one from Davey. It says, at least at Ards they had a reindeer. In Bloomfields, Santa came in a Jeep, ringing a bell. No music, no Christmas atmosphere. Where was the poorest arrival of Santa that you saw this year? Do let us know, 02890-333-105. I was down at Castle Court. It was spectacular. Thousands of people there, and the atmosphere, and Santa going in absolute style the way that he arrived. No sign of any reindeers, but thankfully, considering the feedback we've got from Ards after the appearance of the reindeer there at the weekend. But an old Jeep and a ringing bell. Have we any examples of Santa just arriving on the hoof? Like, I mean, walking? Do let us know. 02890-333-105. Has he already arrived up the Shankill yet? Because on Friday night, I'm going to be there switching on the lights. I hope that indeed Gary has everything organised to a T, that we won't be having a phone in here on Monday morning complaining about the light switch on and the lack of detail or the presence of reindeers. 02890-333-105. Gavin has a point that he wants to make. Good morning, Gavin.
Morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Gavin. What's on your mind?
Well, you're going on about these six contestants last night, you know, biting the heads off these grubs. But yet, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was listening to your show, as I do every morning, and you had real disgust in your voice when you expressed your concerns about allowing your own dog into your house. It won't go anywhere else in the house other than the kitchen, and you'll make it sleep outside. Now, personally, you know, you're going on about these people biting the heads off a grub. Big deal. I think you're being a bit of a hypocrite, because a dog is a pet. It's a family member. And yet you make it sleep outside. And you actually had real disgust in your voice, saying you couldn't imagine your own dog sitting on the couch or going on holiday with you. Or, you know, it's just, you know, it's a pet and it is part of the family. But yet, you sort of made the dog out to be alienated, and the thought of it actually being on the couch and its hairs sitting beside you whilst you were maybe having your dinner or something just really turned you. Mm. So the word hypocrite does spring to mind.
Yeah, let me address some of that. I agree with you about the couch. As for the dog sleeping outside, the dog sleeps in the garage, which is, you know, it's
in the garage. Oh, that must be really comfortable for it.
Yeah, it's very comfortable, but he's not going to. In my opinion, a dog shouldn't sleep in a house. He should be sleeping in some very comfortable, well ventilated, warm facility that is appealing to him. And the proof of the pudding would be, does he want to go into the bed? If you say bed boy, does he want to go to the bed and he skips to it, then my opinion is that he's happy. And that's the way it is with our dogs. Now,
but that's the way you've trained the dog.
But hold on. There's a reason why he is trained, as I mentioned on the programme, not to cross the threshold from the kitchen into the front hall or any other room
in the house. What's the point in having the dog? What is the true point in having the dog if you don't want it around your own personal space?
Yes, but here's the important thing, Gavin. This is where we differ, okay? And you're entitled to your opinion, and you will be supported by thousands of people listening to the programme. And I'm not saying
hundreds of your listeners, yes. I would say a very, very high percentage
of course
would agree with me.
Of course, but let me finish the point. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just making another case. You are the sort of person who believes your dog is part of the family and the dog can basically go anywhere that you go. You may have some restrictions. Maybe you don't allow
within
the
reason.
Yeah, you're hardly likely to let the dog jump into the bath upstairs, or, you know, there'd be places that the dog wouldn't go.
Depends if I'm in it.
Yeah, maybe you do allow a bit of it. But having said that, there are people who see dogs as pets, but there is a limit. And I would be one of those people. I see the dog, and the dogs and I get on brilliantly together. I would see the dog as very welcome in the kitchen, comes in, lies around the kitchen, moseys about, goes back outside and out to the garage, back into the kitchen. But we can leave the door from the kitchen into the hallway open. And those dogs will come to the threshold, but they'll never cross that line because they've been told not to. They haven't been punished. They've just been told you're not allowed to do that. As a result, the rest of the house is hair-free. And the reason I say this is, you have visitors who come to your house. I have visitors who come to my house. There are many, many people who don't want to sit down in their Sunday suit and get it covered in dog hair. And no matter how hygienic you are, no matter how good a house cleaner you happen to be or who you employ to come in to do it, chances are there will be dog hair and there will be a dog smell that lingers in the house. And the people who have dogs tend to fail to recognise that that smell does exist. I am very conscious of the fact that our kitchen can sometimes smell, oh, it's a bit, wee bit doggy today, and you have to, you know, give it a good clean out. I would detest that elsewhere in the house, whereas you seem to be able to live with that.
But my dog doesn't smell, and I'm sure your wife, when she's putting your undies in the washing machine, thinks the same thing.
Yeah, but you think your dog doesn't smell. You think your dog doesn't smell. Every dog smells. Unless you're cleaning your dog every day, unless you're giving him a wash every day, he will smell. And most people haven't the time to wash their dog every day.
Well, I just personally feel that if you're going to have a dog, and it's that old cliche, particularly this time of year, a dog's for life, not just for Christmas. And, you know, if you bring a dog into your home and it's part of the family, and within reason, I think the dog should be allowed to go within reason where it wants. And as you rightly say, that's where we differ. But I just think you're being a wee bit of a hypocrite regarding these grubs, which, I don't know, I'm not a vet. Whether they have feelings or not, I don't know. But and personally, I quite like, I'm a celebrity, I think it's great entertainment.
Yeah.
But certainly on the main topic of, if you have a dog, I think you welcome it into your home, and as I say, within reason, the dog should be able to roam where it wants. And, you know, we all have hoovers, and, you know, we're all quite sort of house proud. So, and I think if you welcome somebody into your home, they accept that you have a dog, and if they get a little bit of hair on their Sunday best suit, as you put it, so be it. That's just, and you know what, if they complain, then they're not really worthwhile being friends, in my opinion. So,
oh, all right.
There you go. That's just, as you say, we all have different opinions, and that's why the world is the way it is.
Totally. I'm not saying you're wrong at all. This man absolutely loves his dog and constantly referred to the dog being like one of the family. 0289033105, your opinions on this. It comes up from time to time. Very welcome indeed. I don't really see the comparison between that and biting the heads off the slugs, however, off the grubs on the telly. People are saying that they are dead before the heads are bitten off them. Does that make it any better that they kill them and then we bite them? I just think it is a bit gruesome. Bits and pieces. A fabulous entertainment. Fabulous entertainment. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. But I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't go on the telly and bite the head off something that they'd just killed for my pleasure. 0289033105. Stuart has a point. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Frank. On about your previous caller, I appreciate that that's maybe the way he treats his dogs. He sort of seems to forget that dogs were originally wild animals. They were pack animals and they lived outside constantly. You know, actually us bringing them indoors and keeping them indoors constantly is probably not a great thing for them either. There's lots of people out there who have working dogs, gun dogs, springers, labs, etc., who, like yourself, they have a garage. They sometimes sleep in a shed, sleep in a barn. They come into the kitchen and that's about it. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. That is a dog who's well trained, and dogs are happy when they know their limits. They know what they are supposed to do. And if you start confusing dogs, then you sort of put them, one day they're allowed up on the sofa, and the next day, because somebody's in the house, they're told, no, get off the sofa. That confuses them. They're either allowed or they're not allowed.
Yeah, but I've been in houses, Stuart, where, and I'm not sure about Gavin, the previous caller, but I've been in houses where the dog is allowed on the sofa whether the visitors are in or not. The dog is part of the family, and that's the dog's chair, and the dog sits there. And, you know, I sometimes think, like, I'm with you on it. And I should emphasise that I'm quite sure Gavin and other people allow their dogs outside, out into the garden as much as the dog wants to be out there. So it's not as if the dog never gets out. But I am with you. I believe a dog should know its limits. It should always be treated with kindness and fairness and love and affection, all of those things. But a dog, you touched on a very good point there. A dog should know its limits. Some people feel that a dog should be like a child.
No, never. Dogs should never be like a child. A dog's an animal. You know, if anybody puts a dog at the same level as a child, then to me personally, no, that's not right, because a child's a human being.
Yeah, and I think that is the critical difference. And to me, I'm with you on that, Stuart. To me, that is the absolute difference. A child is a child. A dog is a dog. A child is a human being. And no matter how much you might long for children, or how much you might despise children and reckon I'd rather have a dog, it's a dog you have. It isn't. It isn't a child. Let me speak to Marie, who's in this line. Good morning, Marie.
Hello, Frank. Well, Frank, I am really surprised at you, because I've always admired you. I've liked your honesty and the way you speak, and, you know, but I have a dog, and to be honest, I am laying in my bed now, and the dog is at the end of the bed at my feet. And I don't care what you say or what anybody else says, Frank. He is my child. He is the best company you could ever have. He goes out every day. My son takes him out for 2 hours every day for a good walk round the park or a run round the park. I take him out for maybe 20 minutes at night. What I can, because of trouble walking, not I'm in my 70s. And he is the best wee dog ever. If anything happened to that dog, it would break my heart. I had one for 14 years, and I lost him. He was a wee bee, Sean, and I lost him. So my son and his partner bought me this V1. He's 3, he's not 4 to March. And they got him on a farm. He's a wee, what do you call them? Oh, my God, his name's went out of my head.
Collie.
No. He's a wee, oh, God, Frank, am I so stupid? His name's went out of my head. Well, let's see. It's
Terrier.
Funny. No, he's a wee, small,
Runt.
No, he's a wee, what do you call that wee dog? Oh, for goodness sake, Frank, I'll come back to my...
Yeah. Anyway, describe him to me. We'll have a competition here on the radio. You describe the dog, and we'll try and work out what breed he is.
I know what breed
he is. I know, but you can't remember, so just describe him to me. He's lying at the bottom of the bed, so just tell me what you can see.
Yeah, he's small, mm-hmm. And he's black and grey.
He's a Jack Russell.
No. It's black and grey.
A badger.
A what? People, what did you say there?
I said a badger. People
I'm going to come up and I know what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to knock you right in the head.
People are saying a schnauzer. Is he a schnauzer?
Schnauzer.
Yo.
He's a wee schnauzer. And honest to God, Frank, he is gorgeous. He's the best wee dog you could ever have. Honestly,
yeah.
There's no trouble out of him. There's nothing. He's looking up at me now. There's no trouble out of him. No nothing. No mess in the house. No hairs. He gets groomed every 6 weeks. And he is fantastic. And my son's the same as me, but two sons love him to bits. Your son has a big dog, which is a Rottweiler.
Ooh.
And it comes into the house. And the wee one tortures the big dog, you know.
Yeah.
So he is, I can't describe how brilliant he is.
I'm not doubting that at all, Marie. Marie, I'm not doubting that he's absolutely brilliant, because that's how I feel about my dog as well. You know, I love them from the bottom of my heart. They are sensational company. It's just that I put limits on mine. You don't put any limits on yours.
Oh, no.
And does he ever get a wee bit smelly? Does he ever, like, you know, pee-wee in the wrong place?
Oh, no. No, no. No pee-pees, no poo-poos in the house.
Mm-hmm. Not even a wee bit of gas.
No.
Wee bit of.
Not that I know. I can never smell him. No, when it comes time he needs his grooming, mm-hmm. he can smell a bit.
Yeah.
But I just can't describe how good he is. So I'm really surprised at you, Frank, because I've always admired you, and I've always admired your comments, your views, I've always said to my son and all, like, he's honest and he can play, you know. But when you said that about the dog...
Yeah, but hold on. All I said was that there's some rooms in the house I don't let him into. I didn't say I was going to put him down.
Why? It's just a wee dog. What kind of a dog is yours?
A terrier, a fox terrier.
Wee small dog,
yeah. Wee.
And you wouldn't let him up on the sofa?
No.
Oh, for goodness sake, Frank. That's not a home, that's a kennel.
Do you know what?
Really is.
But he has a lovely bed that he sleeps in. He can come in and lie in the kitchen. He's got a mat in the kitchen. He can run about the garden.
A mat?
A mat. It lies on the floor. You know, he lies on a mat in the kitchen.
My dog has a bed sitting in the living room, and he can lay on that when he wants. He has a mat on the floor, a rug on the floor. He can sleep in that. He has a sofa where he would cuddle up to me at nights. And then when I go to bed, this dog goes to bed with me. And he wakens me up when he needs out in the morning until my son takes him out for 2 hours every day.
And he would lie at the bottom of the bed every night?
Yes, and sometimes he comes up beside me, and what he'll do is he'll wriggle and wriggle until I move over, and he gets up near my shoulder and cuddles into me. He's the best, I'm telling you, he's the best dog ever.
Marie, it's just a lovely picture you paint of, you know, you just lying there, cozy, like a big teddy bear beside you in the bed. It's love. It's absolutely oozing out of you towards what is sounding like an incredibly beautiful animal. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't have the dog in the bedroom. But I respect your opinion on it, and I'm more than happy to hear from anyone who's listening to the programme. If we were to do one of these Twitter texts or Twitter votes on it, I wonder what the outcome would be. I think the question would be, do you allow your dog in the bedroom? That would be probably the best question to ask. Do you allow your dog in the bedroom? And I'd like to hear from you on the programme. Do you sleep at night and the dog at the bottom of the bed, the dog lying at the floor in the bedroom, or the dog like a big teddy bear right up beside you in the bed? Feel free. 02890 333 105. Marie, thank you. Katrina's a point that she wants to make. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, I would just like to say, with regards to dogs, first and foremost, if you say if people don't treat them as family, they shouldn't get them at all. My girl, personally, she's 8 months old puppy. She has been the best thing for me. I have a long-term medical condition, as well as depression. With her, I know I have to get up. I know I have to go out and look after her. So she's like a therapist built into one. She absolutely rules the roost and is spoiled rotten. Gets access to every room in the house because she's family, and I wouldn't treat her any other way.
Yeah, and you are obviously getting the benefit of the dog being a companion dog. It's a dog
that is making you
feel better.
I
would say that obviously not everyone needs that sort of companionship. You do, and dog is excellent, absolutely excellent for being able to provide that service. But can you not see people having a barrier between where they go in the house and where the dog goes?
A dog is a family member, and if the dog can't really be treated as such, like my mum has a guide, well, she had a guide dog that has, she's waiting actually to get a new one. She has a Jack Russell who rules the roost in her house. When he sleeps with her, and I mean he burrows down under her bed and keeps her feet warm at night, he has access to everywhere. You mentioned a car, he's the first one at the door. I know I can understand some people obviously don't want them to go into the bathroom or some don't like the kitchen, but as long as the dog is well trained enough to understand, you know, you sit, you don't move, there's no problem with the dogs being in those particular rooms.
Yeah, very good argument. Very well put, Katrina. Thank you indeed. Katrina getting significant benefit from her dog. A very obvious benefit as well. Thank you.